Morning. Today's daf and Yuma daf Chav Zayin. We're in Chav Vav Amud Beis. We are right before the Mishnah. We're starting with the words today. Tanya Rashbi Omer. It's right in the middle of the Amud. It's the last two words of the line. Gemara yesterday's daf talked about the Tamid, the carbon Tamid, and how many Kohanim were necessary in order to transport the carbon Tamid to the Kevish. As we've been discussing now, we're in the second parak of Yuma, and really the topic of discussion has been the four payasos, the four lotteries that occur every day in the base of Mikdash. The first of the four lotteries is for the Trumas Hadashen. Second lottery is basically the main avoda, or the main jobs that were done in the morning. 13 jobs were assigned at this second pious. Of those 13 jobs, 9 of them were basically to transport the animal to the kevish, to the ramp. The other 4 of those 13 jobs were the one who shechs, the one who does the zrika, the one who cleans out the mizbech ha-pnimi, and the one who cleans out the menorah. The third pious, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that was for the ketores, that was for the burning of the ketores. And the fourth pious was for Mimala Ivarim Minakevish Mizbech, who's going to be the one who's going to bring the animal from the ramp up onto the Mizbech. We're going to learn in just a moment. I didn't mention this yesterday, but we're going to learn in just a moment in our Gemara. So Rashi says that was one person's job. That was given to one Kohen. Despite the fact that there were 9 Kohanim who brought the animal from the Makom HaShechita to the ramp, but in terms of the actual putting the animal up onto the Mizbech, so that was given to one Kohen's job. So that was one additional job that was given. If you remember yesterday's daf, we talked about the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which our Gemara says our Mishnah does not subscribe to. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the Kohanim, who were the ones who brought it to the ramp, are the same Kohanim who brought it from the ramp up onto the Mizbeach. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you didn't have this pious, this lottery, because it wasn't necessary. We knew exactly who was going to bring the animal from the ramp up onto the Mizbeach. Gemara yesterday's daf then wondered, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, how do you have the fourth pious? I mean, what does he do? He doesn't agree to 4 piousos? So to which the Gemara says, no, he does have a fourth pious, and that fourth pious, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is for the machte, for the transferring of the coals from the outer mizbech to the inner mizbech, so that the one who's going to burn the ketores can burn it on the inner mizbech. Okay, adkan. Yesterday, the Gemara, which we started yesterday, dealt with the issue of Nisach HaMayim as a tangential point, but it was mentioned in the Mishnah, so therefore the Gemara discussed it. When is Nisach HaMayim done? So we know generally when Nisach HaMayim done is done during the Yantav of Sukkot, Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that every day of Sukkot, wine is poured onto the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. But when, during the day of Sukkah, is it done? So the Gemara says it's done during the Tamid Shel Shachar, it's during the morning Tamid. And the Gemara brought in 2 proofs to bear that point. One of the 2 proofs was the fact that Tzeduki finds himself on the Mizbeach, pouring the water, not in the southwest corner. He doesn't agree to this Halacha Moshe Mesinai. He doesn't accept the Halacha Moshe Mesinai. And he was pelted with Esrogim. And when do people generally have their Esrogim? In the morning. So another proof that the Nisach HaMayim was done in the morning and not in any other time during the day. Okay, good. Adkan. That takes us to where we got up to in the Gemara. And now we're continuing the Gemara. We're in the middle of Chav Vav Amud Beis. Tanya Rashbi Omer. So the Gemara quotes the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. Minayin l'tam mishal ben arabayim shetam shnei gzira eitzim. B'shnei kohanim. The afternoon karban is accompanied with 2 blocks of wood carried by 2 kohanim. And how do I know that? In other words, where's the source for that? Now the blocks of wood, right, just to help us create a visual, not the firewood that we put into our into the fireplace. I've noticed a couple of houses here in Florida have fireplaces. I always find that to be funny. We're in the deepest part of winter, and I'm still unclear in terms of why that is. But either way, don't think of the logs that we put into the fireplace. That's not the Gzira Eitzim. The Gemara in Tamid, right, and Midos talks about how they were basically square blocks of wood, meaning that they were pieces of wood cut into blocks of square. An amma by an amma, if I remember correctly, in terms of how big a block of wood we're talking about. So it's a nice size chunk of wood. In the afternoon, 2 new blocks of wood were put up onto the Mizbeach. Remember that at this point in time, we're going to have to be burning all the karbanos that we offered over the course of today. And the burning could take place over the course of the night. So therefore, you want to replenish the Mizbeach with fuel. So you put two blocks on in the afternoon. But again, that's all logistic. That's convention. The Gemara over here wants to know, where in the Pesukim do we see that two Kohanim need to transport these two blocks of wood onto the Mizbech? Shenamar, so the Gemara quotes a Pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Perek Aleph of Vayikra, V'archu Eitzim, and they will arrange Eitzim wood. Now, mind you, by the way, that this Pasuk is not talking about the Talmud. I mean, in the beginning of Vayikra, the Torah talks about the Carbonola in general. So it's hard to argue that this pasuk that we're quoting from Perek Aleph is actually talking about the Talmud. And the Gemara knows that. And the Gemara says, Imeinu inyan l'tamid shel shachar. Now it's not talking about the Talmud shel shachar. Dichsiv uvier la kohen eitzim baboker. Because the Torah says already very clearly of the, let me finish reading. The arach aleha. It already says that you have one Kohen arranging a block of wood on the Mizbeach in the morning. That's later on. That's Perek Vav. So we already have a pasuk describing how there was a block of wood placed on the Mizbeach in the morning. So we already have a pasuk that accounts for the Talmud Shel Shachar. So this pasuk in Perek Aleph, although it's not talking about the Talmud, but we know it's not talking about the Talmud Shel Shachar, so therefore, Taneu Inyan Le Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim, so therefore we're going to apply it to the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim. This is the classic methodology of the Gemara of Imeinu Inyan. Meaning, I know it can't be talking about this, therefore I'm going to assign it to something else. It can't be talking about Talmud Shel Shachar, because I have a pasuk in Perek Vav that describes it. So therefore, it's talking about the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim. Ve'ema yidiv yidiv b'Talmud Shel Shachar, ve'amar rachmana avid, ve'ahadar avid. Gemara says, well, maybe both pasukim are talking about the Talmud Shel Shachar. Maybe the Torah wants to tell us to put a block of wood on, and then put on two blocks of wood. So im kem ne'makra uvier uvier. So the Gemara says, well, why isn't the same verb being used? Meaning, if they're both describing the same time period, which is the morning, so then shouldn't the psukim complement one another by using the same verb? So, ikas rechman uvier hava min echad in treylo. So, kamashmalan de navid chav and navid trey. The Gemara says, well, the word ubier is singular. And I might have thought that one should do one and one should do two. So that's why I need v'archu to tell me that two kohanim are involved. So imke nemakra v'er ubiaru inami v'arach v'archu my uvi'er v'archu. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right, but the Torah could have said ubi'er ubiaru. The Torah could have said v'arach v'archu, meaning we could have used the same verb in both locations, perek alf and perek vav, and just simply use one in the singular, one in the plural. And that would have arrived, then we would have arrived at the conclusion that in the morning, have one Kohen bring one, have two Kohen and bring two. The fact that the Torah says, my uvi'er uve'archu, why does the Torah use two different verbs? Shmamina kidekamrinan. So the Gemara says, because we're going to go back to our original suggestion, which is that they're describing two different time periods. The bi'er mentioned in Perek Vav, that's talking about the Talmud Shel Shachar, and the Archu that's mentioned in Perek Aleph, that's talking about the Talmud Shel Bein Arbaim. Okay, Adkan. So therefore the Gemara just simply clarifies, establishes that two blocks of wood have to go in the afternoon, brought up by two Kohanim. Okay, it's part of the preparation of the afternoon and consequently the evening, so that the Karbanos can be burnt. Tani Rabbi Chiya. Just a couple more points before we get to the next Mishnah. Pious, pa'mayim, or I should say pa'mim yud gimel, pa'mim yud dalet, pa'mim tezvav, pa'mim tezayin. Okay. The lottery sometimes results in 13, sometimes results in 14, sometimes 15, sometimes 16. If you take a look at Rashi over here, what does that mean? So, Pamim Yud Gimel, Rashi writes, Kohanim Asukim Be'avodas Atami Kedinamim Asisim Be'payish Ne Yud Gimel Be'payish Sheini Yud Gimel Kohanim Zochimbo. So, in terms of the number 13, good. So, we go back to what we learned in the previous Mishnah, that on a regular day, there are 13 Kohanim involved. Sometimes it's going to be 14, so that's when we're on Sukkos, and we need another Kohen in order to bring the Nisuch HaMayim. Sometimes it's going to be 15, that's on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, we pointed out, there are Shnei Bezichim, there are two spoonfuls of Lavona that are going to be burned on top of the Mizbech. That requires two extra Kohanim. And sometimes it could be 16, that's Shabbos and Sukkos when they coincide. Now, Vehatanya Yud Zion. Now we have a brisa that says 17. So how did you? So this brisa that says 17. When are we ever going to have a number resulting in 17? 17 Kohanim, meaning, as we just pointed out, the maximum number of Kohanim necessary to transport all the Karbanos up onto the ramp are going to be a maximum of 16. So where does 17 come from? So the Gemara says, okay, the author of that brisa is not going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is going like Rav Yehuda. Now what does that mean? So here's the Rashi. Meaning I told you that Rashi, according to Rashi, it's only one additional Kohen who brings from the ramp to the top of the Mizbech. This is a Rashi. Let's take a look at this Rashi inside. Ha'itana islay od Kohen echad. One additional Kohen, Hamale Yevarim in a Kefesh Mizbech, who brings the limbs from the ramp up to the Mizbech. V'hare Kan Yud Zayin. And that brings us to the number 17. Delokar of Elazar ben Yaakov, Elokar of Yehuda, Damar lo aya pais lamachte, V'akach echles leisle de Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And it cannot be Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Name came, Batsalu payasus kedamin la'el. Okay, and Rashi goes on. I could go on to Rashi, but the point is basically this. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there's one additional job that was given, and that was for the one Kohen to bring all the limbs from the ramp up onto the Mizbeach. It is a little bit strange.
You have to go back and forth.
Yeah. Good. I was going to point out. It is a little bit strange that in order to get the limbs onto the ramp, so there were 13 Kohanim involved, actually more accurately, 9 Kohanim involved, because remember, 4 of them did other jobs. But there were 9 Kohanim involved to get everything up onto the ramp. Because, quite frankly, that's how many hands you needed. You need the 9 Kohanim, you needed the 18 hands. So that's how many were needed. And then, it's a little bit strange, that now going from the ramp up onto the Mizbeach, one Kohen's job is to do it. It's a little bit strange. One Kohen's job to do it. He's going to have to go up, down, up, down. However many, right? I don't know if there's a requirement to how many trips he makes, but just logistically, he's going to need to make, right? Logistically, he's going to need to make a number of trips. So it is a little bit strange. I don't have a good understanding of why that should be, but that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi over here says it very clearly, that it's one Kohen bringing from the ramp up onto the Mizbech. Okay, Adkan. All right, so what have we established so far? That there are a total of, on a regular Tamid that is brought in the morning, a total of 9 Kohanim who are established during the second lottery to bring the animal up. And 9 Kohanim, because quite frankly, that's how many we need. Meaning 5 for the animal itself, an additional 1 for the intestines, and then that's already 6. And then an additional 3 for the oil, the flour, the minchas chavid. Okay, fine. So that's 9. That's if it's a tamid. What if it's a larger animal? Now, basically, the way we're going to view animals is basically 3 different categories. Number 1, the kevesh. That's the sheep we described earlier. Sheep are small. They're not large animals. So you only need 5 Kohanim to bring the actual animal up onto the Mizbeach. Next animal-sized animal up is going to be the aisle. That's going to be the ram, right? Which is essentially a male, but it's going to be larger. And then the one up from that is going to be the bakar. It's going to be the cattle. Okay. So, and by the way, goat is essentially, in terms of size, same size as a sheep. So I'd venture to guess, it's a guess on my part, that the same number that you have for the sheep would be the same number you would have for the goat. Although, quite frankly, this requirement of having multiple kohanim involved is really only for the carbon sibur. Now, this is not a requirement for a carbon yachid. So, okay. Anyway, ayo krav be'echarasar. So, if I have an ayo, if we're offering an ayo, so when do we offer an ayo? Meaning an ayo comes at what point in time? So, and we're talking about from a carbon sibur standpoint. So, during the musafim. Right, Musaf of Yantuf, so an aisle is going to be brought up. Aisle is a larger animal, therefore we need 11, contrary to the 9 that we needed for the sheep. Habasa b'chamisha, now the actual animal itself could be brought up with 5. Okay, that's fine, meaning that's the same as the sheep. Ha'kirbayim v'asolz v'ayayim b'shnayim shnayim. Here's where the change is. For the intestines, for the flour, for the wine, so it's not going to be one coin for each one of them. It's going to be 2 Kohanim for each of them. I guess a lot more intestines, a lot more flour, a lot more wine. So therefore, they're going to need 2 Kohanim to carry each one of those up. So that gives us now an additional three more people, three more Kohanim. Okay. Par krav be'esrim va'arba'a.
Why do you pour flour and wine too?
In other words, because it's basically a bowl of flour, and so you had two Kohanim who are shouldering the weight of that flour. Because it's more, quite simply, because it's just more. It's more flour. The nesachim increase with the size of the animal. So for the sheep, it's a quarter of a hin for sheep. It's a third of a hin for ram, and it's a half a hin for the bull. So it just gets more.
And the wine also.
And everything increases. If you look in the back of the chumash, they give you like a whole chart of like. But yes, everything increases. Par, we're up to the bull. So the bull, krav be'esrim v'arba, 24 kohanim to get the bull up onto the ramp. Harosh v'aregel. So let's now, here because the size of the animal is so great, I mean, think of a cattle, think of a cow. How many kohanim, sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, how many kohanim are necessary to bring the bull up onto the ramp? So harosh v'aregel, so harosh b'achan. So just the head alone is one. That's one kohen. Meaning, think about it, by the sheep and by the ram, we had a Kohen holding the head in one hand and the back right leg in the left hand. Okay, so already, just the head requires one Kohen. Ha-regel b'shnayim, the leg takes two Kohanim to get up there. Ha-ukitz v'ha-regel, ha-ukitz b'shnayim, the back end of the animal, the rump of the animal is with two. The back leg of the animal, this is now the left leg, is another two Kohanim. Ha-chaze v'ha-gera. Hachazi be'echad, the chest, one kohen. Geira, so geira is basically the entire top portion of the internal cavity. It's the lungs, it's the trachea, together with the lungs, the esophagus, perhaps the stomach source, that I'm not sure about. But bishlosha, that takes three kohanim. Shtei yadayim bishnayim, the two front legs, two kohanim, meaning one leg each. Shtei defanos bishnayim, two flanken, each flank, is that right? Okay, I don't know. So it's carried by one kohen. So the two flanken are by two kohanim. Ha kirbayim vasos vayayin bishlosha shlosha. And because the intestines, the flour, and the wine was so much, so that was an additional three kohanim for each one of those parts of the karban. Okay, ad kan. So in other words, then you tally up all those numbers, and the number you're going to arrive at is 24. So 9 kohanim for sheep, 11 kohanim for a ram, 24 kohanim for the bull. Ba'med v'arma morim b'karban sibor. Now all this is only true by karban sibor, meaning the procession, the march, the parade of kohanim going onto the ramp. That's only with carbon sibor. Ba'ba karban yachinim, rasal akriv makriv, and by carbon sibor, one person can bring it all. You don't need this procession. You don't need a lottery. You can have one Kohen in charge. Yes, he's going to perhaps have to make multiple trips up and down the ramp, but there's no requirement of a parade. When it comes to Karban Sibor, there's more requirement of a parade. Why? What's the difference between the two? So perhaps we could say what we said earlier, because Barov Am Hadras Melech. Because when we're doing a mitzvah, specifically of a Karban Sibor, so it is for the public. We want more people involved. The more people involved, the more beautiful, honoring it is of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, a total of 24 in this case of a large animal.
First of all, the owner would choose which one?
Unclear how that.
I think it says the owner could choose.
The owner could choose.
It's not as a pious.
But couldn't the owner bring it up himself?
No, that's the avoda. We'll talk exactly what the owner can do. It's funny you should mention that. That's right. Right now, that's our next discussion in terms of what the owner can do. But in terms of which Kohen can do it, so in other words, remember, there's a whole system in terms of which Kohanim are doing the avoda. So you have a mishmar, and on that day you have what's called the Beis Av. So it is, in other words, the pool of Kohanim certainly has been reduced, but I still don't know the answer to your question, though.
Is it considered halacha?
What's that?
Bringing up the animal up.
Well, we're going to discuss that today.
No, but is it called halacha, or halacha just applies to the blood?
The halacha is the blood. So what is this in terms of what language are we going to call this? So, okay, we'll see. That's today's daf.
Same 24 queen name, take all of the bulls, where there are multiple bulls?
Yeah, so is this now, this parade going to be per animal? Meaning for the Karban Musaf, that's another good question. For the Karban Musaf, in other words, on a typical Yontav, you have multiple karbanos that are offered. So now, is it like a new parade of Kohanim for each Karban? So that I don't know either. Okay. Another good question. If Sheitim and Nituchim shall Eilu ve'Eilu Shavin. Okay, now, prior to the animal going up onto the Mizbeach, so there's two procedures. Have Sheit, the flaying of the animal. Because remember, the only thing of a Karban Ola that's not being burned on the top of the Mizbeach is the hide. The hide is retained by an Ola, by a Chatas, by an Ashram. It's retained by the Kohanim. By a Shlamim, it's given back to the owners. But in other words, the hides are not burned. So the animal's flayed. And two is Nituach, meaning the animal needs to be cut up. Okay, because as we just got done discussing now, the animal is coming up in pieces. So obviously, if the animal is going to come up in pieces, it needs to be cut up. So the Mishnah says, ambiguously, that the Heshed and Nituach, She'elu ve'elu shavim. These and these are the same. Not clear right now what the Mishnah means by that. The Gemara will explain right now. Tana, we learned in the Gemara, Heshed and Nituach shavim, bizarre. So what the Mishnah means when it says that Heshed and Nituach shavim, it means a non-Kohen. A non-Kohen can do Heshed and Nituach. So what we're going to be spending the rest of today talking about, literally the rest of today, is when do I need a Kohen and when do I not need a Kohen. Now here's a basic rule of thumb. If it's an avoda, I need a Kohen. If it's not an avoda, I don't need a Kohen. That's your basic rule of thumb, but with every rule of thumb, you know, there are exceptions. So already we know, we've seen this time and again throughout the Gemara, is that Shechita is an exception. Shechita obviously is part of the avoda. On the other hand, I don't need a Kohen to do Shechita. A Zar can do Shechita. In fact, we learned just a couple days ago that the truth of the matter is that we don't even need a pious in order to do the Shechita. We don't even need the Kohen. I'm sorry, we had a pious for the Shechita. I apologize. The Kohen didn't need to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Right? We said that just a couple days ago. Kohen doesn't need to wash his hands and feet in order to do the Shechita. Because it's an avoda, but a non-avoda avoda. If I remember correctly, that was the terminology we used. That's my terminology. You don't have to like it. But fine. So Shechita already is in that category of, it's an avoda, but not really an avoda. Okay, that's the, but they're gonna, as we're going to discuss over the rest of today's daf, other areas, specific areas in the preparation of a karban where I don't need a kohen. Notably what we're discussing right now, which is Heshev and Nituach. The flaying of the animal, the cutting up the animal into pieces, doesn't need to be done by Kohen. Now, mind you, by the way, it was done in the Azara. So it does mean that we're going to have a non-Kohen actually coming into the Azara. That's fine. Meaning that can happen. What cannot happen, however, is that no non-Kohen is allowed to go into the Heichal. And even Kohanim going into the Heichal only under certain circumstances. Meaning if there's a purpose for them being in the Heichal. Meaning if they're going to do Ketoris, if they're going to light menorah, lechem aponim, and then in terms of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, entrance into there is totally restricted. Nobody goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Of course, with one exception. Right, except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Right, the Pasuk says, Lo yavo b'chol eis el HaKodesh. Right, which, you know, if you stop at that point of the Pasuk, that means nobody ever goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim under any circumstances. The cleaning people do go in, but I mean, in other words, under controlled circumstances, yes, they go in. There is maintenance that goes in there, like any building needs maintenance. Okay, so what we will be discussing today, very technical Gemara today. Okay, I'm just getting everyone excited about it. So, but the Gemara is going to discuss today how we arrived at this conclusion that Hefshe v'Nituach can be done by a non-Kohen. And that is the rest of today's daf. And it's funny, we haven't even started yet, but that's it. Amar Chizkiah. So Chizkiah tells us, Minan l'hashav v'nituach sheshave bizar. How do I know that a non-Kohen can be involved in hefshev v'nituach shenamar? So the Gemara says, we learn from the following. V'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohenim eish al ha-mizbeach. Okay. We are going to be heavy in Perek Aleph today in Vayikra. So Vayikra, Perek Aleph, we are Psukim, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. And actually, we're also going to see today Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeah. Or Yud Beis. Okay, anyway. Heavy in Perek Aleph today. Benasnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen esh al ha-mizbeach. Sorry, let me get my bearings. Okay. This is Pasuk Zayin. If I could just go back one Pasuk. Please, allow me to go back one Pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Okay, I'm in Perek Aleph of Parshas Vayikra. V'hivshit es ola v'techo talan techeha. Pasuk Vav tells us, hevshit, ituach. Flay the animal, cut the animal into limbs. Now we have the next Pasuk. V'nasnu b'nei Aaron akonim esh al mizbech v'achu etzim ala esh. Then B'nai Aaron are going to put the fire on the Mizbeach and arrange the wood on the fire, which just a moment ago we said is a reference to the Tamid Shel Bein Harbaim. Okay. V'archu B'nai Aaron ha-Kohanim es-Natachim et-Arosh v'et-Zapadah ala Eitzim ha-Shel ha-Ish ha-Shel ha-Mizbeach. And Pasuk Ches says that the B'nai Aaron are going to take the cut pieces and arrange it head, fat, on the wood, which is on the Mizbeach. Okay. Now, what did you notice what happened when we went from Pasuk Vav to Pasuk Zayin? In Pasuk Vav it says, V'hivshit, and he will flay, and V'nitach osal nesacha, and he's going to cut it up. Now, who is the he we're referring to? Well, unclear, but then when you look in context at the next Pasuk, V'nasnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen. And then, B'nai Aaron are the ones who are going to be putting the fire on the Mizbeach and arranging the wood. So it seems like, as you're looking at Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Vav, you could argue, is a non-Kohen, while Pasuk Zayin, the Torah says, is a Kohen. Right? You see that? See how that worked? And that's basically what the Gemara is going to say. So, Shenem Rav Nesnu B'nai Aaron, a Kohen Ish, Eish al Mizbeach, Nesinas Eish, by Kahuna, Heshev Nituach lo by Kahuna. That's the Gemara's point. If you look at Vav and you look at Zayin and you look at those two psukim and you read them consecutively like we just did, it seems like the obvious conclusion should be that no kohen is required for heshev nituach. The Gemara says, "Hi mi baile legufei." So the I don't understand. Meaning, you're making a dig from the pasuk. You can only do that if I don't need the pasuk, but I need the pasuk. Meaning, sometimes the Torah is there just to tell us the basic information. So if I need the pasuk for basic information, so I don't have a right to now start darshaning. So the Gemara says, "Am Rav Shimon bar Ashi Ashkechel Abayi Dav Mazbel Lebrei." So the Gemara gives us a little bit of background to the next step of the Gemara. Rav Shimon bar Ashi was telling us that he found Abaye who was teaching us on Torah, and he was teaching him the following: V'shachat Shchita Bezar Kshera. So when the Torah describes how when you shecht, a shechting can be done even by a non-Kohen. Now, that goes back to Pasuk Hey. V'shachar ben ha-bakar lefnei Hashem v'kiruv b'mnei Aaron. Now, v'chimei ayin bata, where did you get that from? How do I know that a non-Kohen can shecht? Mechal shenemar v'atal v'necha itcha tishmur tkun aschem. So, because the Torah describes later in Parshas Korach that you, Aaron, your sons, have to do shmira. You have to guard the kahuna. Now, what does that mean, guard the kahuna? Meaning anything that's temple-related, anything that's avoda-related, has to be done by Kohen. So I might have thought, that even shchita has to be done by Kohen. So I go back now to Perek Aleph of Vayikra, and I'm in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Hey. So here again, and this is in one Pasuk, where we, in that one Pasuk, we're transitioning from shchita to B'nai Aaron offering the blood. Right? V'ikrivu B'nai Aaron akohanim es adam. So mikabbalah ve'elach mitzvah kohuna. So that is from Kabbalah. Now it's interesting, by the way, because the Torah doesn't actually say the word Kabbalah. The Torah says v'ikrivu B'nai Aaron akohanim es adam. V'zarku es adam. You could have made the argument that maybe this is a reference to halacha, not to Kabbalah, but the Gemara's understanding assumption is that's a reference to Kabbalah. Fine. So the Torah says, when you do smicha, meaning now we go backwards, we're going back to Pasuk Dalet. And you're placing your hands on the carbon. Who's placing his hands on the carbon? The owner. The owner certainly doesn't have to be a Kohen, right? Any Jew could bring a carbon. Truth of the matter is, non-Jews could also bring a carbon. But any Jew could bring a carbon. So the smicha is certainly talking about the non-Kohen. So now, when I look at the sequence of Psukim Dalet and Hay, V'samach Yido Al Rosh HaOlah, that's talking about a non-Kohen. V'nirtza L'chaper Olah, V'shachat, in other words, and he shechts, so presumably we're talking about the same person, a non-Kohen. And then when do I need the Kohanim involved? Halfway through Pasuk Hay, v'hikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim HaSadam, so b'zar michti mikabal ha'velech, back to the Gemara, michti mikabal ha'velech mitzvah kohuna. Okay.
You said the
shechting
was done in the Azara.
Huh? Yes, correct.
Where was the guy put his hands on? That was also in the
Azara? He was also in the Azara. Correct. So, Vinasnu b'nei Aaron lamali. Now, with all this stated, so now we could apply the proper context to our discussion. Meaning, good. That was all background. That was all just to get us to the point of right now, at this point in the Gemara. Meaning, because now I know that up to Shechita, including Shechita, Smicha, Shechita, that could be done by non-Kohen. Anything from Kabbalah Saddam Ve'elach, that requires a Kohen. Good. And that we got from the sequence of Psukim, Dalet, and Hay. Now that we're all here, V'nasnu b'nei Aaron Lamali. So now what do I need? V'nasnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish L'mizbech V'rachu Eitzim Ala Eish. When I go fast forward to Pasuk Zion, and you know who's going to put a fire on the Mizbech? The Kohanim. Well, okay, yeah, in other words, I get it. Mikabalah ve'elech, from the point of accepting the blood onward, any avoda that's done past that point in time has to be done by Kohanim. So why does the Torah in Pasuk Zion have to now tell me, oh, and make sure Aaron the Kohen, right, and by Aaron we mean any Kohen, has to put the fire on the Mizbeach. So, the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why the Torah has to reinstate Aaron over at this point in time. Because this is not essential. Meaning, when we sift through the avoda, what is the most essential part of the avoda? The sprinkling of the blood on the mizbech. Why? Why is that the most essential? Because that provides the kapara. Meaning, once the blood's been sprinkled on the mizbech, that's it. Kapara has been effectuated. So now, when the Torah moves on to other portions of the avoda, I might have considered the fact that it's not a kapara. It's not ma'akev, meaning we could lose the animal at this point in time, and the carbon's been satisfied. So I might have thought that I don't need a kohen from that point going forward. Loti by kohuna, kamash malanda by kohuna. So that's why the Torah and Pasuk Zion has to tell me, no, even though this is a non-essential avoda, it's not a kapara producing avoda, nevertheless, I need a kohen. So the Gemara says, okay, now we go forward. And the arrangement of the pieces of the animal, this is Pasuk Ches. I place the animal on the Mizbech. But the Torah doesn't say I place, the Torah says the Kohanim place. Again, why do I need Kohanim here? V'archu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim es nesachem es harosh v'asapadam michti mikabal v'elech mitzvus kuhuna v'archu l'amali l'me'ute heshev v'nituach. So the Gemara says, you know what's coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude heshev v'nituach. Meaning that the arranging of the animals, and I guess that's what we're going to call it now, the aricha, the arranging of the animals on the mizbech has to be done by Kohen, so the prep work, meaning the flaying of the animal and the cutting into pieces, doesn't need a Kohen. All right. So finally, when you see the entire picture from Pasuk Dalet all the way down to Pasuk Ches, and you look at the totality of the points, so you see now how we got to this conclusion. So quickly, let's review. Okay, because it's a lot of information. So, in terms of the shechting of the animal, non-Kohen. How do I know that? Because of Psukim Dalet Hay. Because Dalet says smicha, then Pasuk Hay says any shechts, that's talking about a non-Kohen. So that means then that when the Torah in the middle of Pasuk Hay says v'ikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim, so that's mikabal v'elech. From the mitzvah of Kabbalah Saddam, going forward, that's a Kohen. Fine. But that's only for the essential avoda, meaning the kapara producing
portion of the avoda. Now we talk about the burning of the animal on the mizbeach. Again, avoda, but it's not for the purpose of kapara. So that's why I have pasuk zayin. Meaning the Bnei Aaron have to set up the fire on the Mizbeach because we're ready now to burn the animal. This is not for the purpose of Kabbara. This is just simply to burn the animal on the Mizbeach. So that's why the Torah has to re-invite the Kohanim to do this portion of it. Good, that's Pasuk Zayin. Now when I get to Pasuk Ches, V'archu Bnei Aaron HaKohanim, and they're going to arrange the pieces, why mention the Kohanim? I get it. It should be Kohanim who are going to put the pieces up onto the Mizbeach. So to that, the Gemara says, you know what we deduce from there? That the prep work prior to the arranging can be done even by non-Kohen. And that got us all to the point where the Hefshe v'nituach can be done by non-Kohen. Period. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the exclusion over here is the arrangement of the two blocks of wood. So mistaba divcha de kavasem emait. So the Gemara says, well, no. Because, look, there's a miyut. There clearly is an exclusion where a non-Kohen could do something. Shouldn't the exclusion be applied to the animal itself, not to the wood onto the mizbech? Because look, what the Torah and Pasuk Ches tells us, ve'archu ben Aaron ha-Kohanim es ha-nesachim. The pieces of the animal have to be arranged on the mizbech. So if there's an exclusion, meaning if there could be a non-Kohen involvement, it should be on the animal prior to the arranging. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can make the argument that the arranging, the exclusion is in the arranging. So holachas evram lekevish hu debai kahuna. Holachas eitzim lo bayi kahuna. So the Gemara says, no, because I already know from elsewhere that the bringing of the wood to the Mizbeach doesn't require a Kohen. So, ha-sidr shnei gzira eitzem bayi kahuna. So in terms of the arranging of the wood on the Mizbeach, that requires a Kohen. So now that I know that, va'archu lamali, so now why do I have, in the beginning of Pasuk Ches, va'archu, that the Kohanim are arranging the pieces of the carbon on the Mizbeach? It means that any preparatory stages for the animal prior to this point in time can be done by non-Kohen. Okay, fine. Now, I'm going to put a period over here at this point in the Gemara. In other words, again. So now, essentially, the Gemara has made its point. It took a while for the Gemara to make its point, but the point is, I don't need a Kohen. A Kohen is not necessary for Hefshet Vinituach. Okay, and it comes from the totality of the psukim from Vayikra, Perek Al, from psukim Dal through Ches. I know once I get to Pasuk Ches, where the Torah tells me that the arranging of the limbs of the animal are done by the Kohen on the Mizbeach, so anything prior to that does not require a Kohen. So the flaying and the cutting of the animal does not require a Kohen.
In terms of
the halacha, a non-Kohen also cannot do the halacha. The only halacha that a non-Kohen can be involved in is the halacha of the shnei gzira eitzim, the two blocks of wood. But in terms of the actual animal itself, that no, because that's what the Gemara quoted. V'hikriv haKohen es kol hamizbecha, that the Kohen has to do the halacha of the animal to the mizbech. Okay, now at this point in time, now the Girsa of the Gemara is a little bit strange. We're going to follow the lead of the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. He takes out now this next line of Gemara. The Ema, yeah. So Ela v'hikter hakol is a kol lamai asa. So what does the Torah mean when it says v'hikter hakol lemut eshev neituach? So it's coming to exclude Eshev Netuach. V'yikriv HaKohen es HaKol HaMizbecha. Zu holachas evram lekevesh. Holachas evram lekevesh u debai kahuna. Holachas eitzim lo bai kahuna. Okay. So in terms of transporting of the animal to the Mizbeach, that requires a Kohen. Transporting the wood to the Mizbeach does not require a Kohen. Hasidr shnei gzira eitzim bai kahuna. But in terms of the arranging of the two blocks of wood, that has to be done by a Kohen. V'nasnu legufei. In terms of the placement that's required for itself, meaning this halacha that we just described, the archu shnayim B'nei Aaron Shnayim, HaKohanim Shnayim, Lamandulatla Shaton Shisha. And in terms of the number of Kohanim that are needed in terms of this procession of moving the animal towards the Mizbeach, so the Gemara is going to darsh in three words. The three words are Vinasnu. No, sorry. Viarchu, apologize. Vinasnu, we keep out. Viarchu. And they arranged. Now again, whenever we have a plural, we always assume two. B'nei Aaron, that's another two. And then HaKohanim, that's another two. So two times, everything two plurals two. So two times three, there are three words that are being darshan. So that gets us to the number six. And when we have a tle, when we have a sheep, so therefore we need six Kohanim. Now again, how do we get to the number six? So remember what we learned 2 days ago in the Daf. There are five Kohanim to bring the limbs of the animal up onto the Mizbeach. And then one more Kohen for the intestines. Okay? Yes, it's true. We need three more Kohanim for the flour, the oil, and the bezichin is for Shabbos. Right, the state of the chavitin. Okay, fine. So the wine, the flour, and the chavitin. But okay, anyway, so that's six. It is a little bit difficult, and this is not my point, the Rishonim make this point, that we just darshan the Archu and the Bnei Aaron and the Kohanim to teach me that when it comes to the Tle, I need a total of six. Meaning, where are we contextually? We're in Vayikra, we're in the first parak. Okay, what's the first parak describing? Meaning, which animal is the first parak describing? Yeah, right. So right, Stuart realizes already that in context, it's a little bit difficult to understand how the Gemara just did what it just did. Now, if your ola is going to be a bakar, and then we move forward, that was Pasuk Gimel. And then we move forward through Psukim Dalad through Ches. So it is a little bit difficult how the Gemara just darshan from Pasuk Ches that I need six Kohanim involved in the transporting, in the march, in the parade going up the ramp, when the truth of the matter is we're not talking about sheep right now. We're talking about Bakar. So that is a little bit difficult. The Rishonim already bothered by this. All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. Amar Rav Hamanuna Kashel Le Rav Elazar. Hi beben Abakar Ksiv uben Abakar Esvim Va'arba'a. I apologize. It's the Gemara's question. I thought it was the Rishonim. So the Gemara says 24. Uben Abakar Esvim Va'arba'a Bay. V'nichalei ala Eitzim Asher al Ha'esh Asher al Mizbech. Ezu Davish and Amar Bo Eitzim Eishu Mizbech. So the Gemara says, look, there are three key words that are used over here. The word Eitzim, the word Eish, and the word Mizbech. Where else do we see those three key words? Avi Omer, Zetle, that's a reference to the Tle. Take a look at Rashi over here on the top of Chavzayin Amud Beis. Tamishal Shachar, he's Kicha, Kasav Bola Marachas, Eitzim Chadosha B'choboker, Ve'ish Alam Mizbeach Tukad Bo. Okay. When describing the carbon Tamid, the Torah says the words Eish. Uvahach Mokta, Sida Marachahik, the title of Kaman Perigimel. Uvier Allah Kohim Eitzim B'choboker. Also, when describing the carbon tamid, you see the word eitzim, right? Another key word. And finally, va'arach ala ola va'amamar ola ola rishona v'alshar kabanos lo iskuku lechidush. And mizbeach, back up in Rashi. Second line of Rashi. The eish al hamizbeach. Sorry. Those are two key words. The word eish and the word mizbeach. And then the next part of the pasuk that Rashi says, "V'ir ala kohen eitzim baboker." That's the word eitzim. That's the key word eitzim. Okay, fine. So that's how, even though in context we're talking about the bakar, but because of those three key words, so the Gemara says that we're talking about the tle. So okay, it comes out now that the marching of the six kohanim bringing the animal up onto the ramp now is it's not just a number, it's not just a logistic, but it's starting out from the pasukim. Okay. Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Zash Yisidus Amaracha Chayef. Okay. Rav Asi quotes Rav Yochanan, if I have a non-Kohen who is Misada Maracha, who arranges the fire on the top of the Mizbeach, so he's Chayef. So again, the transporting of the wood can be done by a non-Kohen. That's what we learned on Amud Aleph. But in terms of the arrangement of the wood, that has to be done by a Kohen. That's a pasuk. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Any non-Kohen who does the avoda is chayv misa. Now, misa over here, we mean misa b'dei shemayim. Okay. But, what Rav Yochanan is being mechadesh is that that includes, now, so in other words, certainly we know if he does the Kabbalah and the Holacha and the Zrikas Adam, so you're subject to misa b'dei shemayim. What Rav Yochanan is introducing to us is that it would even be true even if we're just arranging the wood on the Mizbeach. That's also considered an avoda, and that also would be misa b'dei shemayim.
Just put it down.
So Ketzer said. So now let's say I had a non-Kohen put it down. So what do I do? Porka, v'chozer v'sodra. So you see, wood is great, and right, a bonfire is great because what you could just simply do is take the wood off and put it back on again. So it's one of those things that can be undone and redone. So my anile. So the Gemara says, well, it's funny. The Gemara thought originally that the same person undoing it and doing it. To which the Gemara says, is that going to help? Ella porka zar v'sodra kohen. So in other words, we'll have the non-kohen undo it, and the kohen redo it. So maska v'rav zeh v'chi yishecha avodah shekshar b'layla p'sula b'zar. So the Gemara says, now, really? Meaning, this really qualifies as an avoda, the arranging of the wood. V'lo v'areya v'arim p'darim. So the Gemara says, I understand. What do you mean? We do find avodas that are done during the night, and yet have to be done by Kohanim, the burning of the fats and limbs. So the Gemara says, and we saw this already before, Sof Avoda di Yamama Hi. Yeah, the Gemara says, yeah, but the burning of fats and limbs, that's not a nighttime activity. Yes, it's done during the night, but all you're doing is just finishing up the day's work. So the Gemara says, what about Trumas Adeshin? Tchilas Avoda di Yamama Hi. The Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kiddush Yadol v'Trumas Hadesh, and Lamachrei Nesarech Lekadesh Shekvar Kiddush Mitzchilas Avoda. So the Gemara says, and even Trumas Hadesh, which is done early in the morning, yeah, but Trumas Hadesh is part of the morning Avoda. In fact, we saw earlier that if you wash your hands for the Trumas Hadesh, the Kohen doesn't have to wash his hands again because he already washed his hands for the Avoda. So Trumas Hadesh is also considered Avoda. Elakasha. Velakasha. So the Gemara says, so now it's a little bit difficult. Because we said that for the arranging of the wood on the fire, if you have a non-Kohen doing it, he's Chayv Misa. What do you mean? You can arrange the wood at night. So why should he be Chayv Misa? Elakiyin Marachiyin Maravasi Marav Yochanan Zar Shesidar Shnegi Zire Eitzim Chayv Hova Avodas Yom Hi. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to requalify the statement. The statement is, because it's Avodas Yom, so therefore you're Chayv Misa. Maska v'rav alameyatati by pious. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's Avodas Yom. In other words, we're finishing the second parak of Yuma. Right? Between today and tomorrow, we're going to finish the second parak of Yuma. Did we mention at all during the lottery who's going to do the arranging of the two blocks of wood? So the Gemara says, you forgot, didn't you? It was 6 days ago. So the Gemara says, didn't you forget? Meaning the person who won the Trumas Hadeshin, what bonus? What else did he win? Sida Maracha, the arranging of the wood. The arranging of the fire and Sidah Shnei Gzira Eitzim.
Huh? Was it more the person next to him?
Regardless, meaning. You're right, it may be the person next to him, but regardless, the point, no, I think it was him, first of all. And secondly, the point is, it was part of the lottery. So, Lamemer, Davoris Yom Bayi Pais, Vavoris Lo Bayi Pais, so the Gemara says, so you're telling me that if it's a daytime avoda, it requires a lottery. If it's a nighttime avoda, it doesn't require a lottery. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the burning of the fats and limbs? Sof avoda diyamamahi. No, that's the end of the day's avoda. So the Gemara says, Trumas Hadeshin. Well, Trumas Hadeshin, there was a lottery because of the incidents that we discussed in the beginning of the second parak. Now it's funny, the Gemara just like 5 lines ago said, the Trumas Hadeshin is an avoda. And now the Gemara is saying, well, you know, because of the incidents. Because again, as I told you from the beginning of this parak, whether Trumas Hadeshin is or is not an avoda is a machlokas. So the Gemara is playing both sides of this fence. Okay, good. So just quickly, we'll stop here. We'll quickly wrap it up, and we'll continue tomorrow. God willing, we'll finish the parak tomorrow. Okay, so our big discussion today was first of all, Shitas Rashi, which we start off our morning with, that the fourth lottery to determine who's going to bring the limbs up to the from the ramp to the Mizbeach. So that was one additional kohen. That's Shitas Rashi. Rashi said it on the bottom of Chav Amud Beis. Then we talked about how, although I need 9 kohanim for the bringing up of the Teleh, in the number 9, by the way, I keep saying, although the Gemara today said really it's 6. Because if you're talking about just the animal itself, 6 kohanim that bring the animal up, so the numbers increase as the animal increases. For a ram, it's 11. For a bull, it's 24. And then, really, the remainder of today's daf was just simply this idea that Hefshet v'nituch, the flaying and the cutting of the animal, does not require a kohen. How did we arrive at that conclusion? So that was really most of today's daf, where we looked at psukim dal through ches in the first parak of Vayikra, and by looking at each of the psukim in context, you see that hefshet v'nituch does not require a kohen. And then we finished today's daf with a statement by Rav Yochanan that if I have a non-kohen who's misada maracha, who puts the 2 blocks of wood on the mizbech, so that's considered an avoda, and therefore you chayv misa. Stop over here. Rabbi Chananya